I want to read a few verses out of this text, Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start reading at verse number 20. Verse number 19. Say amen. We've located that text. Matthew chapter 25, verses 19 through 25. But I want you to read in your leisure verses 14 through 30, the entirety of the text of this particular parable. Say amen. You've located it. Matthew 25, verse 19 says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me this morning on the title of this sermon, The Meaning of Time. The Meaning of Time. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your words would not return void, but that you will, that they will accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, minds be illuminated, souls be convicted. Speak to us. Hide us behind the cross. Cover us under the blood of Jesus. And certainly shower down the anointing of the Most High God in this place. We will be ever careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. For you, God alone, are worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want today to share in the next iteration of our Bible study on the book we have been reading, D Free. And so again, those of you who have not been able to join us, we are now in the 6th chapter of Reverend Dr. Soros's book, and we encourage you to come out and share with us in reflection and in study as we think about the principles of the book, about financial slavery, but more importantly, think about the overarching things about spiritual bondage and spiritual slavery. So today is, we had a break from the sermon iterations on Sunday, given last week was women's culmination service. We had a great service with Minister Trinace, Nikki Richardson, and the week prior to that was Mother's Day. And so we have continued the study, but we have not had the Sunday component to accentuate the study as we've gone into the week. Today I want to get back to that, and we're looking at chapter number 6 today in the book. So those of you who are following along with us, this week's study, for some of you I said 6 and 7, we're going to correct that and just do chapter 6 this week. And so in our studies, it would just be singularly chapter 6, because that chapter 6 ends what he calls level 2 in the book. And then we'll go into level 3 and to level 4 a little bit later. So find that slide with the studies on it. And so this is going to be our new schedule. This week, chapter number 6. Next week, we're going to triple up, not just double up, but triple up 7, 8, and 9. And then from the week of youth revival, we won't have any studies because we'll be supporting our young people. And then the week after that, we will come back and do the last three chapters, and then do review the week of the 24th through the 30th. And then I'm going to call forth, for those of you who are still in town, I know it's 4th of July weekend, and some of you might be taking an extended 5-day weekend break, but on that first Sunday in July, we're going to do a testimony service to talk about and share with how this book has blessed anybody, literally, financially, and in other ways. And so, right, however many people show up, it'll be in the afternoon, a small or large service, depending on how the Lord so blesses, and we will move. Put that slide back up one more time. On the 9th, on the 10th, Sunday the 10th, two Sundays from today, we will also do a review study after the 11 o'clock service, or sometime that afternoon, time to be determined, to kind of catch folk up who may have missed some of the earlier chapters from the first three parts of the book, level 1, level 2, level 3. So our goal is to complete level 3 by the 9th, review on the 10th, go into the last three chapters, the 17th through the 23rd, do the review the next week, and then have our own and our first of what will be several testimony services to hear how folk have cut up credit cards and gotten out of some aspect of debt. I told our Thursday Bible study last week that I'm going to go ahead and lead off some of the testimonies. I cut up 2 of my Sears credit cards. Somebody say amen. Now, what I was doing with 2 Sears credit cards is another question. Leave me alone. In point of fact, I had 3 Sears credit cards. And the third one is on my big appliance purchases, so I'm still holding off on that one. But the other 2 small ones we got rid of. Amen. So I'm D-free from 2 more credit cards. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's all right. This is going to be part of our testimony service. I want to hear how you all also are cutting up, getting out of debt, and moving towards greater financial freedom in your own lives. In chapter number six, on page number 101 in the book, Reverend Dr. Sorey says, understanding the relationship between time and money is crucial if you are to break the shackles of debt and experience debt-free living. 2 proverbial cliches come to mind that nonetheless convey that relationship. The first is something you've probably heard all your life, especially from managers, employers, and nagging parents. Time is money. And the second, he goes on to say, is the second proverbial statement, that time flies. He says on page 104, however, while money comes and goes, time passes and can never be regained. Time, along with our health, is truly one of our most precious commodities. God has given us the gift of life on this earth for a set period of time, and he wants us to make the most of it. Never attempt to use money to solve a problem for which time is the only answer. Either time that needs to be spent with another person, or time that needs to be spent alone in reflection, contemplation, or mourning. And so those 2 proverbial cliches he cites, time is money, money is time, and time flies, or time waits for nobody. Those 2 statements are endemic in today's biblical lesson about the parable of the talents, or some would call the parable of the minas, depending on your pronunciation. These two parables, one told in Matthew, the other in Luke, represent the same basic theory that time is important, and money invested, or time invested, resources invested in doing kingdom work will reap returns that we must be aware of. And so in this parable of the great Lord, who is nameless in the story, I'm going to use the Matthew text, the Matthean version of the parable. The Luke version, the Lucan version, differs a little bit because it says in the story that the Lord of the house gives to 10 different servants certain minas, and it alludes to the fact that it was one mina per servant and what each servant did with their mina. In the Matthean version of the text, in Matthew chapter 25, we find three servants, one given 5 talents, another given 2 talents, and another given 1 talent. And what those individuals do with their talents is important in the conversation we're having today about financial freedom. What's interesting also is that in the Matthean text, right before he tells this story, Jesus tells the story of bridesmaids, right, who had oil, and some had oil and others didn't, and they missed the fact that when the bridegroom came back, right, they were out getting oil when they should have had it in the first place. And so the point of the story is, don't miss your blessing trying to be somewhere that you're not supposed to be when you should have done what you're supposed to do in the first place. Amen, somebody. Right? So that kind of accentuates the time is money or time is important aspect of the story. Now, there are a lot of other points of that story in the bridegroom, bridesmaid, but that sets up this parable in which the Lord of the house, right? Now, we know that parables are indicative of stories that reflect kingdom principles, and though therefore we believe the kingdom principle in this case is talking about Jesus when he's coming back again. And what is cited in the bridesmaid story is, right, you don't know when the bridegroom is going to come back again. You've got to be ready, right? And so many of us are living on borrowed time, aren't we? I always say that the rest of the day is not guaranteed and tomorrow is not promised. The psalmist and the proverbial writers talk about our lives being like vapor. We're here one moment and we're gone the next. And little Akia's funeral last week so reminded me of the precious commodity of time. That 9 months, right, is all that she was given. And she her cognitive functions had not even finished developing. And yet God called her home from labor to reward. Why so early? We shall never know. But I hope and pray that it is a reminder to all of us who are seated here in this sanctuary under the sound of my voice that don't take time for granted. Don't take life for granted. You better tell folk you love them while they're still here. Go ahead and send them the flowers while they can smell them, and give the cards while they can read them, and go ahead and spend time with them while they can appreciate it. For you never know when indeed we will be called from labor to reward. And so this story of the parable of the servants and the talents again accentuates this notion that the Lord gives us certain things, goes away, and what we do with what we've been given is of the utmost importance. It says that one servant took his 5 talents, invested them, and had a return of 5 more. He doubled his talents, and as a result of doubling, he was able to give something back to the Lord of the house when the Lord came back. The same thing is said of the servant with 2 talents. Took his 2 talents, doubled them to 4, and was able to give what he was given plus more than what he had when the servant of the house, the Lord of the house, came back. In the book, Reverend Sorey's references come to something called the rule of 72, right? The rule of 72, those who are reading the book, you're with me? Everybody say, I haven't got to the chapter yet, Pastor. I'll read it this week. right? The rule of 72 is a financial principle that talks about how long it would take to double your money. And so whatever the interest rate is that you are investing in, divide that into 72, and that will be the number of years it takes to double your return on your investment. It's an interesting financial principle, and those who teach financial principles are into this notion of how do you get a return on your investment. And so whether it is CDs or long-term investment instruments or other types of instruments, what does it mean to get a return on your investment? And that's what Dr. Soares references in the book about financial freedom, that so many of us are not counting the time that is elapsing, and that the fact that time is money. The longer you pay off, take to pay off something, the more money you're putting into somebody else's pocket. And he flips that around and says, the more you invest in yourself over time, the more that money will grow. The decision is ours. Where do we invest our money? How do we invest our resources? Are we giving away our resources, or are resources working for us over time? Now, whether you are there yet in terms of investment instruments and strategies, right, I want to make this bigger than just financial. Right, the talents are what are explicitly stated in the text. But let me say this: God has given all of us some resources, and God has given all of us some talents. And your talents may not be somebody else's talents, and somebody else's talents may not be your talents. But the question still remains the same: when the Lord comes back and has us to give an account on how we use our talents, will we be able to stand before the Lord of the house and say we were able to use our resources? Now, I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about your talents of sharing with others about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You and I both know we're not here because we've been so good. We're not here because we are so educated. We're not here because we are so smart. We're not here because we're so good looking. We don't live where we live, drive where we drive, have what we have, work where we work, all because we pulled ourselves up by our bootstrap. We who are people of faith acknowledge that it was God who gave us the ability. It is God who has blessed our resources, and it's God who has multiplied and magnified. And so the most that we can do is to give glory to God for what God has done in our lives. Amen, someone. So part of investing your talents is, first of all, helping somebody else know that I didn't do this thing all by myself. Right? Part of investing your talent, your resources, is telling someone that there is a God who gave me what I have in the first place. And anything I've been able to do has been through the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. I get the question often, Reverend Armstrong, I hear your story. How did you get from where you were to where you are? Right? And as if it's some magic formula. And I tell them I cannot answer that question fully. I cannot tell you why certain folk overcome certain obstacles, while others who are faced with similar obstacles may not be able to overcome or are challenged and beset by them in ways that other folk are not. I cannot tell you why two children who grew up in the same house, exposed to the same stimuli and environmental issues, one does this and the other does that. But all I can say is that there is a God, and that I trusted in that God from the earliest stages of my life, when I was 8, 9, 10, and 11 years old. And the little bit of talent God gave me, I believe I tried to invest it back into the kingdom of God by saying, Lord, I praise you for what you've done for me. And I thank you for who you brought into my life. And yes, hard work is part of it. Don't get me wrong. I had to stay up late and study hard. But if I was the one who said I did that all by myself, I would be robbing from God the glory that is due unto his name. And any of us that would dare presume that we are where we are because we did it,
is robbing from God the glory that is due unto God by himself. And so the first lesson I take from the principle of the five talent person and the two talent person is I take what I've been given and I try hard to multiply what I've been given. The third servant took what he was given and did nothing with it. Decided he was going to be a blessing to the Lord of the house by keeping the one talent and saying, I want to give back what was given unto me. And I need us to hear this carefully. Even though the Lord of the house didn't say it, he was waiting to see what they would do with what they've been given. Now, if he had said, I want you to invest and I want you to take what I've given you and multiply it, maybe then all three of them would have done it. But God, but the Lord of the house used this as a litmus test to say, I want to see what they do with what they've been given without instruction. And so it did not take anybody telling the servant with the five talents to invest it and to get a return. It didn't take anybody with the two to tell him to invest it and get a return. It does not take any of us to be constantly reminded to serve God in the beauty of holiness. For if you know what God has done for you, the preacher shouldn't have to remind you to praise him. The choir shouldn't have to remind you to praise him. You ought to wake up in the morning with a praise in your spirit. Lord, I thank you that you gave me another day. Lord, I thank you for keeping a roof over my head. Lord, I bless you for putting food on my table. Lord, I magnify you for giving me something to eat. If God has been good to anybody, you ought not be provoked and prodded to praise. You ought to praise him. Come on, someone. If God has been that good to you, gave you talent that you didn't deserve, then the least you can do is to stand up and magnify the name of the Lord and say, I'm going to bless you without anybody having to make me bless you. Do I have a witness here today? I know somebody's been blessed. Somebody's been delivered. Somebody's been rescued. And because you've been rescued, you're going to do what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so it didn't take anybody to tell the two servants to magnify. See, when you get into this language of returns of investments, I don't want to make this to a capitalistic reality. That, see, even the Bible talks about investing. And it does. It is absolutely fascinating to me that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus references the principle of investing, Brother Floyd. Right? Long before there was a capitalism and a socialism and a Marxism, right, and communism and all of these other ways of beings of class and citizenry, Jesus makes this reference to investing and returning. But remember what I said several sermons ago. Whenever you see that kind of language, I don't want you to think about Wall Street. I want you to think about the farmer. I want you to think about sowing and reaping. Because if you don't sow, there's nothing to reap. But when you sow and you water, you can expect a harvest at some point later. And so my sowing is not because I expect a return from God. My sowing is because God has already blessed me more than I ever could imagine. So I'm going to keep doing the things that God has called me to do, because I know that if I keep sowing, sooner rather than later, I'm going to reap what God has for me to reap. And so to the last servant, he says, right, or to the first two servants, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's where we get this phrase from, right? It isn't the judgment seat necessarily. This is a parable. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and now I want to make you ruler over many more. enter into the joy of your Lord. Come on up a little bit higher. When we use the things that God has given us for His glory and not ours, that's the investment for His glory. For if you have two choices, invest in yourself or invest in kingdom principles. And when you invest in kingdom principles, loving those who despitefully use you, praying for those who don't have your good in mind, being a blessing to those who are less fortunate, helping those who are in need. Jesus goes on to say, after this, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked and you didn't give me any clothes. I was in prison and you didn't come visit me. And they said, when did we see you these things, Jesus? And Jesus says, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. Now, that's the point of investing. When you do it to the least of these, you're doing it unto Jesus. And if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down investing in kingdom principles. I'm going to bless those who don't have as much as I have. I'm going to feed those who are hungry. I'm going to visit those who are in prison. I'm going to do the things Jesus calls me to do. Because I believe in so doing, God will meet my needs. Come on, someone. By doing that which God has called me to do, investing in kingdom principles, God will meet my needs. And every now and again, He'll give me the desires of my heart. And so the story doesn't end with the two being rewarded. It really ends with the one being punished. He says, lastly, to the one who got one talent, what did you do? Well, Lord, I knew you were a man who valued his money. First thing, make an excuse. Anybody start dancing and shuffling, you know that's a problem. So the end of the story is, what did you do with your talent? Nothing. I put it in the ground and saved it until you came back. And the master of the house says, to he who has, more will be given. But he who has and doesn't do anything with it, even what he has, will be taken away. Now, here's the interesting thing about that particular verse. You all are familiar in Matthew, where it talks about Jesus's in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, right, give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I want to say to someone today that this is the point of the story with the talents. That if you use what you have, more blessings will follow. But when you sit on what you have and don't even do the minimum, right? There's a principle in the scriptures that says obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of us want to do a sacrifice for God as opposed to just doing the bare minimum, the basics that God has called us to do. What are the basics? Love your enemy. What are the basics? Honor your mother and father. What are the basics? Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't lie on your neighbor. What are the basics? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. When we start getting into sacrifice, where I'm going to do this for God, anytime we think we're doing something for God, that's the first problem on your list. Because you can do nothing but God than to serve Him. Come on, someone. The most you can do for God is to obey what He called you to do. Amen. And so then the denunciation of the last servant is this. Cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, for many of us, we will relate that to the place of eternal damnation, Sheol. And yet, to the two servants before him, he says, well done, enter into the joy of your Lord. And so that's why I don't want us just to see this book as just talking about financial principles, as much as it is also talking about kingdom principles. Because time is money, right? Money not valued in capitalistic society terms, right? But value of resources of folk who are precious in the sight of God. Think of how many people we pass in a day. And do we share with them the blessings of God in our lives? You don't have to beat folk over the head. You don't have to be a Bible thumping, proselytizing folk. This whole separation of church and state is somewhat fallacious. Because if you just be who you are, no matter where you are, then there is no separation of church and state. You don't always have to say a sermon. Just be a sermon. When you wake up in the morning, have the joy of the Lord. And when you go on your job, compel people to say, why are you so happy all the time? Why do you always have a smile on your face? Why do you always have a pep in your step? And when they ask you, then you can say, because the Lord is on my side. The Lord has made a way for me. The Lord has brought me out. The Lord has moved open doors that no man can open. The Lord has moved this mountain. The Lord has built this bridge. You don't have to go on there Bible thumping. Just be who God called you to be. Be joyful in the Lord. Be peaceful in the Lord. Have gentleness in the Lord. Have long suffering in the Lord. Exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and people will be compelled to ask you about you. Come on, someone. When the joy of the Lord is your strength, then you can walk into any situation and say, devil, get thee behind me. I am a child of God. I have been bought with a price. I am a child created in the image of God.
Yeah. All right.
No matter what your circumstances, that is your investment in kingdom principles. Living a life to which God has called you to live. That's your return. When you can sow into another spirit and tell them about a God who is able to do everything but fail. Tell them about a God that rose again on the third day. Tell them about a God that has all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Tell them about a God that can pick them up, turn them around, and put their feet on solid ground. Tell them about that God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the God of Deborah, the God of Naomi, the God of Esther. Tell them about that God. That's how you can use your talents. That's how you invest in the principles of God's kingdom. That's how you return unto the Lord of the house. A return. Not because of you, but because of God. Right? We water, we plant, but God gives the increase. I thank God today for increase. I thank God today for increase. Somebody has experienced increase. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Increase. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. Everyone standing to their feet.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you for increase. Thank you for increase. Thank you for your manifold blessings. The deacons and the deaconess and the clergy will help me extend this invitation to discipleship. And I want to say to someone here today that God desires increase for your life. But if you sit on your talent, if you sit on your blessings and bury it and don't say anything about it, God did not bless you to sit down. Let me say that again. God did not bless you to cover up your blessing. If salt has lost its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. If the light is given, it's not meant to be hidden under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men and women that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Kingdom principles. And so today the choir is going to sing, and I want to offer an invitation to someone to step out of where they are into where God wants you to be. If you're here today, won't you come? Won't you come? If you're looking for a church home, I invite you to come. Either one of those invitations. Is there one? Is there one?
Way out on the hill.
Sing the song, Brother Sneed. Is there one?
If I never see riches.
Is there one? Is there one?
Lord, I serve you still.
Is there one?